Amen. Thank you, Ed. Interesting happenings in that scripture that was just read. I found it very interesting, having traveled the Holy Land many times and going through places like Capernaum and surrounding areas of the Sea of Galilee, I could just see all this transpiring with the healings that took place and the Pharisees watching with condemnation and so forth. But my message this morning is Advent, a proclamation of restoration. And so if you could just visualize this as I begin, the theme that will thread through my message is all about being restored. You know, Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I will tell you why that's important to me and possibly important to you as well, to get my head around it while I'm preparing to get into this season of Advent and Christmas and that which will follow, that the one who came, Jesus, still is and will ever be forever. Jesus never changes. The same Jesus that did the healings along the Sea of Galilee that day, in the description that was read from Mark's Gospel, is still among us and available to this very day. You know, when John the Baptist was preaching the message of repentance, and I've shared this in many of my messages, repentance simply means to turn around, to make a 180-degree turn from something that you know you or I shouldn't be doing and turning back to God. And so he was preaching this message of repentance to the multitudes that came out along the Jordan River to hear him speak. And he said, prepare the way for the Lord. And that's what we do during Advent. We prepare our hearts to receive the Lord anew in our lives. Along with the crowds of the inquisitive and the hungry and the lost were the Pharisees. Unfortunately, rather than looking into their hearts, we know through this scripture passage, they looked down their noses at both John and Jesus in both scenarios with great judgment, rather than opening their lives and their hearts to something restorative that might have happened in their lives if they were open. And so in this morning's text, Jesus is healing people and he's forgiving them of their sins. And it provokes the wrath of the Pharisees who muttered, only God could do that. And you know what? They were right. Only God could do that. Indeed, it's absolutely true. But what they could not see nor embrace was the fact that the awesome and distant God of Israel could take up residence in the human body, which we know as the incarnation, that God came to us in the form of a human, and that human being Jesus the Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. Yes, I love the gifts and the Christmas trees and the carols and all of the other stuff, but really, what we are celebrating is that God broke into the darkness of the world in the form of a child, the Christ child, Jesus Christ, the incarnation. So Advent means to come, and the incarnation is God taking up residence in a human, and that being Jesus the Christ. Now, only a few of the Pharisees would eventually get this. Some of the Pharisees, as you go on in the gospel accounts, would come to the realization that the very person, this rabbi of Nazareth named Jesus, was actually God incarnate. But most of them would participate in the undoing of Jesus that would eventually place him on a cross on Calvary's hill. You'll notice that the Pharisees were upset with Jesus, not only because he claimed to be God incarnate, but also because of the company he kept. You know, if this was today, Jesus would be hanging out with bikers. He would be hanging out with some of the tough crowd. And let me tell you something, friends. We're called to reach out to everybody. And that means everybody. The homeless, the prisons, the people that are struggling to find their place in the world, were called to minister to them. And that's what Jesus did. He would dine with the outcasts, the tax collectors. He would embrace prostitutes. He would hug lepers. You remember my message from last week where he healed the 10 lepers. He would give special attention to beggars. And he even had the audacity, as a Jew, to touch the dead, which a Jew would never do. They would be considered unclean. Why? Because he simply came to heal the sick. That's what he said. A doctor comes to heal the sick, not the healthy. And Jesus, being the great physician, broke into this world for that purpose, to reach those who were lost and broken and who needed to be restored. In the gospel accounts, it records some 36 miracles performed by Jesus. And you know, in John's gospel, chapter 14, verse 11, listen what it says. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Jesus is saying, you've seen these miracles performed. At least believe in them. You see, wherever Jesus traveled, large crowds would flock around him. Whether they resided in the towns, the villages, or the cities that he was preaching in, or they would travel literally days upon days and miles upon miles on foot, on donkey, to go and hear this rabbi, Jesus from Nazareth. Why? There was healing power in the words of Jesus. You know, I know some came to be entertained. You know, you have evangelists today who travel and preach, and some come for the entertainment. I would think that most evangelists would say, don't come for the entertainment, come for the word of God, because there's power in the words of Christ. Some were looking for a traveling magic show. I want to see some magic, Jesus. Show me some magic. We know Herod asked that in the end. To which Jesus rebuked such notions in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. Listen what he says. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for miraculous signs. Don't just come to me looking for miracles. Come to me because I can restore you. I can make you whole. I can give you that peace that you've been looking for in your life. I could give you a peace which passes all understanding that the world can't give. I could bring life and joy, unspeakable joy, back into your lives. Don't just come for the miracles. Don't look for a miracle show, a circus. And he rebukes the people who came for that purpose only. You see, Jesus was telling the people that what was happening was not happening by chance. My wife and I were on a cruise last month, and the place that was filled with smoke was the casino. I could tell you what floor it was on, because I avoided it. Floor 8. And there were all the one-armed bandit players, right? Taking a chance. I guarantee you the house always wins. Very few people walk off that ship with more money than they came on the ship with. But I want to tell you, Jesus was saying, this is not some chance like a slot machine in Atlantic City. God incarnate spoke, and in his very name and words, had the power to heal and restore people back to wholeness. If one thing I've noticed in my ministry over the past 3 decades, there are so many broken people today. Good people who are broken by life. Life's been hard on them. And they're broken and they need healing. And if you track the life of Jesus and his ministry, you can clearly see how he used his power in compassionate ways to respond to human needs. He did that back then. And I want to tell you, it's still available today because Jesus continues to do that to this very day on this second day of Advent. You know, when his disciples thought they were going to drown on the Sea of Galilee, he spoke to the wind. When the multitudes were hungry, Jesus fed them. When the wedding guests in Cana were thirsty, He turned water into wine. When a man couldn't walk, he said, take up your mat and walk. Your faith has healed you. When a father lost a child, he raised that child and placed her back into the arms of her loving father. When a man couldn't see, he took some mud with spittle and he mixed it up and he put it on the man's eyes. And the man was able to see again. And when that man, by the way, was healed of blindness, he was dragged before, guess who? The Pharisees, the doubters. And they had this tribunal to try to convict Jesus of magic, of being blasphemous. And so they asked the man succinctly, they asked him, is this man who healed you a sinner? And I love the way the man responded. He says, I'm going to put the Chuck Ferrara spin on it. Listen, Jack. All I know is that I couldn't see and I see now. I was blind, now I see. That's all I could tell you, folks. Whether he's a sinner or not, I'm not going there. He healed me. And the Pharisees didn't know what to do with that. In the simplest understanding and terms, this man knew that he, an ordinary man, had encountered the extraordinary one called Jesus, and Jesus had healed him. And he was thankful. You see, Advent is a proclamation of restoration, to be restored. You know, I had to be restored. I don't know about you. I had brokenness in my life. And God restored me. He's still restoring me. It's a lifelong process. It's not a quickie that's done. It takes time. It unfolds. It's a process that over a period of time, we could be brought to this beautiful wholeness and peace. If John the Baptist were here right now this morning, he would say that the kingdom of God is not something in the by and by, but it's in the here and now. The kingdom of God is here this morning. In this sanctuary, Jesus is here this morning, willing and able to do extraordinary and miraculous things in our lives. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know what I've learned over the years? So many people struggle to hear the message when they're in the midst of brokenness. Listen what the King David writes. Listen. This is a man, the Bible said, was a man after God's own heart. He found himself in a broken place. Have you ever been there, folks? Have you ever been in a place when you were down and you were doubting and maybe even said, where's God in the midst of all of this? How am I going to get out of this mess? David writes, I am forgotten like a dead man. Out of mind. He meant out of the mind of God. I'm like a broken vessel. Most of us have been there one time or the other, lonely, looking for answers, wondering if life was ever going to get better. But listen, in Psalm 147:3, the same writer who wrote that says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Thank God. He hears us in the midst of our brokenness, and he binds us up, our woundedness. Now, I'm sure there are testimonies here this morning, out of the group here in this church, from those who have been healed of their brokenness, their emptiness, their pain, their suffering. I'm sure all of us have a story to tell. We're a church that embraces this Advent message of expectation, change, preparation, and hope. We come to church, why? Because we're a people of hope. We believe that the impossible is possible. We believe that out of hopelessness, hope could come. We believe out of sadness we can break into joy because of our relationship with Jesus the Christ. Do you remember last week I asked you all a question, if you were here? I said, is there any hope for this world? Because if you watch the news every day, you start to wonder, is the world coming to an end? It's crazy out there. It might even be crazy in here. I don't know. I got an amen from Michael. Is there any hope for this world? Well, the theme of the message for this morning is a reminder that Jesus came to heal a broken world, a broken heart, a broken life. That's why he came. He came to restore people back into an intimate and personal relationship with his heavenly Father. He came to restore health to those who are suffering in sick and infirm bodies. He came to restore those who have been wounded by life, broken by life itself through life's experiences. Generally speaking, when something's broken, it's useless unless it's repaired. Does anybody ever watch the show American Pickers? Anybody? Let me see your hands. You like it? They go out there and they find all kind of stuff in garages. I go to these yard sales sometime. I come home with something that's worth 50 cents and I paid $4 for it. I'm such a sucker for these. Oh, this comes from the Tsar of Russia. Yeah, okay. Well, I was watching American Pickers, and there's an image on the screen. The two pickers stumbled upon a guy who he learned a trade from his father and grandfather in fixing clocks. You can't find these people anymore. Try to go find a clockmaker or a fixer, somebody who repairs stuff. And this guy had thousands upon thousands of clocks, and he knows how to fix the springs, and he puts clocks back together because this tradition had been handed down to him from his grandfather to his father and him. Nobody I know likes a non-functioning clock, right? Nobody. If your battery goes bad in your watch, you go get it repaired. You can't walk around with 2 o'clock on your clock every day. What time is it? It's 2 o'clock. Right? So this guy repairs clocks. And I want to tell you something. If we don't like a dysfunctional watch or a clock because it doesn't give the accurate time, we don't like a dysfunctional or a non-working body or a person or a mind. We want that repaired as well. When we are broken in our lives, there's something missing. It can cause us to become depressed and lethargic and bitter. And it not only affects us, but it usually, when we're in that state of mind, in that state of being, it affects the people around us, our families, our friends, our coworkers, when we're broken like that. We can either retreat, and many people do that, I don't recommend it, we get away from everybody. We lock ourselves in. We isolate ourselves from everybody. That's a bad place to be. Or we could have a short fuse, and anybody that comes within 6 inches of us could get a sock in the nose because we're so infuriated in our state of being. You know, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." Jesus came to help people who were crushed in their spirit. You know, it troubles me to no end that within the last 3 to 4, maybe even 5 months, a dozen NYPD officers have committed suicide. I knew guys on the job that took their lives. I could think of 3 off the top of my head. But in such a short span of time, they were so crushed by life, they chose to take their own life. And I want to tell you something else. Every single day, 22 veterans commit suicide. Every day. And here's something even more shocking. Since 9/11, over 100,000 veterans have committed suicide. 100,000 folks have taken their own lives. It's sad. How I wish we could reach these people in their time of crushed brokenness and step in and tell them there is hope. You can turn to something or someone that could get you out of this place you're in. There's a place where you can be restored of your brokenness. And it's a place. It's actually a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers, he's most famous. I've got several copies of this book, My Utmost for His Highest. He writes these words, if we are ever going to be made into wine, we'll have to be crushed. If we're ever going to be made into fine wine, we're going to have to be crushed because you can't drink grapes. Grapes become wine only when they've been squeezed. Wow. You see, before Abraham became the father of many nations, he and Sarah were childless. Before Jacob could be blessed by Israel, he had to wrestle with an angel in the middle of the night. Before Joseph could rule Egypt, he was thrown in a pit and sold into slavery and falsely imprisoned. Before Moses became the great deliverer of the Exodus, he lost his position as a prince and everything he owned. Before Joshua conquered the promised land, he had to go through a wilderness experience. Before Samson could take on the Philistines, he was completely blinded. Before David became a king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. Before Daniel could be used in a mighty way, he spent the night in a lion's den. Before Peter preached to 3,000, he denied Jesus 3 times, and he wept bitterly. Before the Apostle Paul became the mighty messenger of the gospel, he would have to be knocked off his horse on a road to Damascus. Oswald Chambers would go on to say this, when God gets us alone through our suffering and our heartache, think about this, friends. When you're suffering and you're alone and you're crushed by life and you're in that dark place in your life, he says, when God gets you there, temptation, disappointment, sickness, or thwarted desires, or a broken friendship or relationship, when he gets us absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, Oswald Chambers says, then God begins to teach us. God does some of his best work breaking into our messes and our brokenness. Jeremiah 18:4 says this, but the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best to him. It was a marred pot he was making, and he decided to redo it and make it into something beautiful. You see, the potter is able to mend the broken vessel and use it for his own purpose and his own pleasure. The real question for us this morning on this second Sunday of Advent is this. What is your relationship with God today? That's a personal question. That's not a question that we ask corporately of the entire church. How's our relationship with God? No, this is personal. How is your relationship with God today on an individual basis? How's my relationship with God this morning as an individual? We're in a season of expectation and hope this morning, Advent. Did we come to worship expecting a move of God in an awesome way in our lives when we come to church? Do we come expecting that God's going to move in our lives? Like the man on American Pickers who specializes in restoring old clocks, I'm sure glad that our God specializes in repairing broken lives. You're looking at one. And I'm thankful on a personal level. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, David writes. The greatest figures in the Bible were once broken people. And look how God used them in a mighty way. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning, now, today, who has been broken by life, whatever that may be. I've got some encouraging words for you this morning. Don't give up. You've been crushed by life. It's real. It's not made up. It's not up here in the head. Something broke in your life that crushed you. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe something you've experienced in the past, abuses, PTSD, a financial crisis, whatever it is, it's real. I hate when people tell us, just get over it. It doesn't work that way. But I do want to encourage you, don't give up this morning. If you came with expectation today, God is about to deliver a breakthrough in your life. Remember what the prophet Jeremiah said. It's up there on the screen. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. It was broken. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. I want to do something now. I'm not going to bring anybody down here. If you're in need of prayer this morning, something's going on in your life where you need healing, I want you to just stand where you are. I just want you to stand. It could be anything. It could even be a loved one that's suffering and it's been troubling you and you want to just stand in the gap for that person or yourself. Just stand where you are. It's an act of faith. It's just saying, Lord, I'm not ashamed to stand up and say, I believe you could do something about this. I need something in my life today for whatever reason. And I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, the people who stood this morning, it doesn't mean they have any more faith than the people who are seated, because the people who are seated right now may not be in such a place. So it's not a judgmental thing. And so, Lord God, they stand because they need a breakthrough in their lives, either for themselves or somebody they love, or somebody they care about, or a situation they care about. And so, Lord God, I just want to pray over them this morning. And I ask that you would do a mighty work in their lives, that you would give them that peace which passes all understanding, that you would offer hope in the midst of hopelessness, that you would heal them of any brokenness that might be there as the great physician, that you would bring newness and joy, unspeakable joy, into their lives, or the lives of people they care for. Lord God, I'm standing in the gap with them this morning, trusting that just as you caused the lame to stand that day and cause him to walk, you could cause us to be lifted up above our circumstances and get beyond what we're going through right now. And so, Lord God, I just pray on your behalf, not me, but on your behalf, I pray a blessing over all those who are standing. And whatever need they stood for, you heard it, and it has not fallen upon deaf ears, and that you'll bring about a healing. In Jesus' name, amen.